How many ready to get free from evil reasonings? Woohoo! I want you to get this. Every single thing of torment is because the enemy has access to your mind. And you gave it to him. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for you to be able to demand the enemy to vacate your property. And Jesus made the way for you then to give him access to your mind to keep the enemy out. Well, actually, because you want to hang out with God. And having God as your gatekeeper to your mind was keep the enemy out. Amen? Amen. So if you still have any kind of torment, and torment can be extreme where people think they're going crazy, they want to kill themselves, they're hearing voices, all kinds of things. And then torment can be more mild where you're just trying to figure everything out and you're always worried and you're wondering what's going to happen next. And you're, oh, okay. It's both tormenting because God's not in charge of it. Amen? And so, you know, when we teach something here, there's the extreme levels, okay? But then most everybody, no matter even how long you've walked with God, there's part of it that helps you to get a little bit freer, amen? And close off the enemy to anything. Some people have had torment for so long. If you've ever been involved in the occult, horror movies, any really strong perversion, then you've really given access to the enemy to take control of your mind. Reprobate thinking, we talked about last week. Reprobate thinking. When God turns your mind over to reprobate, basically God says, you so much want to serve my enemy, I'm just going to let him have his way with you. Amen? And so God's so clear, you begin to give access to your mind to the enemy when you begin to disagree with God and his word. Amen? So it doesn't really matter to me what the culture says. Can I just tell you what God says and believe it? Our culture says that abortion is a woman's right. The Bible says that when you give your baby into the fire of abortion, it's idolatry, a horrific idolatry, and it's murder. If you do what the enemy wants you to do, it's always going to open you up to some form of torment. The reason so many people are on antidepressants, painkillers, taking, drinking, doing drugs, gaming, any of these things, is because they will not go to God and hang out with God and repent of agreeing with the enemy and then turn around walking hand in hand with God and making the enemy vacate. Amen? I want you to visually begin to see, this is what I have to do to get free. I have to repent, which means change my way of thinking. Come and agree with God. Recognize he's my savior, recognize he's my deliverer, recognize he's my everything, recognize he's my father, amen? Recognize that he's for me, not against me. He wants me to win this thing. And then do what he says. Amen? And when the enemy keeps you in that place in between living for God and living like you want, you're going to have some amount of torment. If you would just sell out to God, you would be amazed how much peace you're going to have. The Bible talks about peace all over. We're going to talk about that tonight, but be led by peace. Some people make up peace to try to justify the torment, to try to pretend it's not there. Everything about freedom begins with recognizing you have a problem. And the whole idea of evil reasonings is the enemy trying to make you think you don't have the problem, somebody else has the problem. are making you think it's not a problem. Depends on how delusional you get, amen? And so it's not difficult to get free. I don't care what you're fighting. The minute, are you ready? The minute you decide to repent and turn from the wrong way of thinking and go to God and sincerely believe what he says and ask him to help you and cling to him and hang on to him, you will begin walking out your deliverance, amen? And then when anything comes along to try to bring you back into torment or back into sin, you have to take authority over that temptation. One thing we've learned around here, the Bible is really true. Amen? Amen? And people who've played with temptation seriously, quickly seem to end up 7 times worse. We had a guy who came for years. First couple of weeks he came, he got free from smoking cigarettes. Just got free like that. And then it worked. Somebody dared him to smoke again. Just dared him, you know, come on, show us you can. How stupid. He smoked. Instantly. He had an addiction at least 7 times worse than he ever had before that he has not yet been able to get rid of because he hasn't yet given his life totally back to God. Don't play with it. Amen? Don't play with it. You step outside of God's grace and you might be amazed at the power of the enemy. You live in a place with grace, with God, and working out your salvation with fear and trembling, you might actually not have a revelation of how powerful the enemy is if you get outside of God's will. And so I don't play with it. It's not worth watching that show one time. It's not worth doing that one time or drinking that one time or thinking that. It's not worth it. I know I have an enemy. In my book, Joy Comes in the Morning, one of the chapters is, the Lord always told me, don't give the enemy an inch or he'll take a mile. And one of the chapters is, the mile has begun. That mile was 15 years to see my son's health turn around so he didn't die. Should have done the warfare instead of giving the enemy that inch. Amen? It's the same thing in raising children. Whatever you put into it now, if you do it led by God, it's going to be a little harder, but it's sure going to pay off when you have healthy adults who are living good lives, when you're not going to psychiatrists on meds and lawyers and jail and other things. Amen? There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen? So wherever you feel condemned, recognize that's a tormenting spirit trying to stay in charge. The great thing about God is when you finally get your eyes opened and you see where you were blind by the enemy, he can turn everything around. Amen? Now this thing called reasonings has to do with all your justifications that jump up. I was saying, there's somebody we were talking earlier, there's a scripture that tells you to be slow to listen. I mean, quick to listen and slow to speak. And the reason for that is intently listen. And then only speak when you really have wisdom from God to speak into the situation, or you're at least really engaged in the situation and you just want to have communication with somebody. Amen? Reasoning is where the enemy, evil reasoning, he jumps in there and he, you think it's you thinking, but he begins to already show you how to lie, how to get out of it, how to get away with it, and basically you think he's helping you, but he's actually getting you deeper and deeper and deeper into his trap. Amen? Now let me tell you, when God really gets a hold of you and says, no more lying, no more gossiping, deal with it. How many know we have a God who wants us to deal with it? How many know we live in a society that wants you to do anything but deal with it? I mean, good gosh, political correctness, all this mess, nobody can even say. I mean, it's crazy. I'm just going to say it. It is very crazy for men who are struggling with confusion and need to come here and get help to want rights to go into the ladies' restroom. Amen. It doesn't matter. Look how easily opinions can be changed because of the media. It's amazing. We're all, people are being totally brainwashed into what the Antichrist is going to do, and they have no idea of it. It's amazing. It's amazing how powerful words are and how powerful the enemy is at silencing truth. The Bible talks about what was meant, you know, in the last days, things that are evil are going to be spoken of as good, and things that are good are going to be spoken of as evil. How many know we're in that day? And so we need to, first of all, stay in the Word of God. I almost say, for as much as a TV you're going to watch, you need twice as much of the Word of God to handle what's being said on TV. I've had more peace since right before the cruise because I decided to quit watching the news. I mean, if something pops up on Facebook newsworthy to pray about, then fine. Amen? I mean, it's the world's in torment. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Lord, I was hanging out with God, and he's so nice. Can I just tell you, if you get in this personal relationship with Jesus, he is the kindest, he's just the kindest person, even though he's God. He's just got the kindest personality. He makes you feel good about yourself when it's really him who's the good that's in you. And so the Lord's saying to me, I just want to thank you. And like, how can God thank us? Come on. We couldn't do anything if it wasn't for him. But he's just so kind anyway. He said, I want to thank you because you preach the truth and you don't stop till it breaks through the lies. You don't just say it and let it go. You wait until my spirit shows you they're getting it. And you'll read it this way and that way and pull it up in another scripture. You'll repeat it 20 times. You'll talk to somebody for 1 hour about it, 5 hours about it, until there's a breakthrough. And why is that so important? Because they have to know the truth, know the truth. And then the truth will make them free. Not hear the truth and you're free, know the truth. So Jesus says he's come to open the eyes of the blind. The eyes of the blind is not about people who can't see, although creative miracles, I believe when you start getting into this place of power and authority, you're also going to see creative miracles. But opening the place where you're blind, do you know any place in your life where you're not walking in victory is an area that there's some kind of blindness? How can I say that? Well, if you already know Jesus Christ, you believe his word, you got the Holy Spirit, how can you still be bound? You can only be bound where you haven't yet known truth. Amen? That's why groups are so important and relationships are so important, because where you're blind, you don't even know it. So you need other people who know God's word, who love Holy Spirit, and who care about you, and who aren't just trying to do their own thing, who can speak into your life. Let me tell you, when you speak into somebody's life led by the Spirit of God in an area where they're blind, every demonic defense that they've embraced over years and years and years comes to the surface to try to get them away from you. Do you know if you speak lies, there's nothing that comes up to try to get you away? Holy Spirit might say, you know, that's wrong. You need to minister to them and help them. But you know what I'm talking about? The devil doesn't say, oh, run. The devil's, there's nothing in you saying, oh, run from truth. I mean, there's nothing in you saying run to truth except Holy Spirit. Amen? So we've got to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So let's pick up the teaching. Does anybody know where we left off last time? It was the one about reprobate. I was just going to go over those terms. Let me see. The e-sword that they have on these computer Bibles is really awesome. All right, it's going to be... One I want to do is 1 Timothy 6 in a little bit, but first Romans 1:21. Let's go to Romans 1, then we're going to go to Timothy if we get a chance. Okay, and I'm repeating this on purpose because I need more people to break through. How many have been having some breakthrough? I'll just give you some really quick little examples, even this week, of people who's breaking through. And let me say, this isn't just about your now situation. God is setting you free for so that you won't have dementia later on, so that you won't be an Alzheimer's patient, so that you won't end up in a situation where he can attack your brain, where he can attack your mind, where you won't physically have an issue. And so I was talking to someone this week that's awesome, loves God, anointed, ministers and everything. There is no one in this church who is in a position of any kind of leadership who is not anointed and doesn't have more fruit of the Holy Spirit than fruit of the devil. Amen? But everybody's still working it out. Amen? So I was talking to Laurie, and she's done an excellent job putting so much. Man, that woman goes for it when it's children's ministry. I mean, it's like light comes on, and she's so soaring. You know, she's got all these things to do and plans and programs. And so, I mean, whew. If I gave her $1,000 a month budget, she would be able to spend it. Y'all would walk in there and look like Disneyland. We'd probably have roller coasters in the back here and everything. It's just this full-fledged go for it. What's going to help the kids to learn, and what's going to make them, you know, have a great time? And just this really very fortunate to have somebody whose children's ministry focus is children-loving church. There's other people, and that's fine too, who have the ministry focus for children. They've got to learn this. And they've got to sit quiet and be well-behaved and do this. You know, so, I mean, God has made so many different people, personalities, and all. It's really cool to begin to love how he uses the different people for what they're doing. Amen? Anyway, so I'm walking to Laurie, and she misses a lot of the services, so she always asks me to make sure that she gets it on CD from Nicole. And Sunday morning was awesome, so she goes, I've got to get that. And she's struggling with MS again, and she hasn't struggled with it for a long time. Well, that's not a coincidence that she's right now really impacting children's ministry here, that she's really putting things together. And she's really upset that something that was gone pretty much is showing up. How many of us have gone through trials and we went over? I mean, when a migraine tries to get me, years and years ago, I used to have them all the time. Now I have them once in a while. They're usually more diet-related than anything else, but I got rid of control issues and things that cause stress. But it's still, it's like, oh, man, the enemy's like, it's back. Instead of having to stand up and back it down. So I said to Laurie, I said, oh, man, you've got to get the teaching. This reasoning teaching is exactly what you need. Well, she started sharing something God had shown her, and I really believe he showed it to her. And it didn't matter what it was. And then somebody else, I think Angela, had a dream with Laurie in it that actually showed the same thing that God had showed Laurie, which is very cool, right? So I'm showing you how this reasoning thing works. The reason I say MS is actually, there's nothing wrong with your body, but your brain says there is. It's a disease where your brain tells your legs they can't work, even though they can. There's no physical reason they can't work, except from a disconnect in your brain. So when you start looking at the spiritual things behind some of this, it's like there's something that you've bought into to defend yourself that is telling you lies, you know, and making you believe it or whatever. And that's so then it's manifesting in our body. And that's just one example of how these things we're dealing with will manifest into sicknesses and diseases and all these things. When the good news is we can deal with it, amen? We don't have to buy these reports of things not being curable and all, amen? Anyway, so here's the thing. So Laurie's all excited about this news, okay? Which is very cool. She got something from the Lord when she was praying because she's learned how to do that. You know, like go to God and say, what's going on here? What's happening? Why is this sickness attacking me? The Lord begins to show her something. She begins to pray about it. She gets confirmation when Angel gets a dream about it. She's excited about it, right? Okay, I'm excited about it. Yay. I've been praying for Laurie to get healed for all these years. That's when a lot of this started, when we went to a Benny Hinn thing for Laurie. That's when we got signs and wonders and the power hit us and we saw angels and everything else. I mean, it's a really good story. I'd like to see Laurie get to the happy, happy, complete conclusion, and it might be able to make it in the next book. Amen? Amen. We'll throw that one in there too. That might be where we start. Who knows? So I say to Laurie, I don't say, oh, that's not it. I don't say, oh, no, that can't be what God's showing you. I don't say any of that because that's not what I'm thinking. I say, Well, you know, this lines up with reasoning. You've got to listen on Tuesday night and really deal with this reasoning thing. I don't know where she is, but is it her? I said, you've got to listen on Tuesday night and deal with reasoning. And automatically, no, I know it was this other thing. God showed me this other thing. Da, da, da. I'm like, one does not negate the other. One does not negate the other. And this thing that was coming up is what we're out to destroy tonight. Amen? It's the thing that comes up that, number one, unintentionally to you, judges the other person and what they're saying. And they make you feel you're being judged. And they make you feel, it's like this thing comes up, this evil reasoning comes up to make you see people wrong or situations wrong so you can't communicate. What is it? So you can't listen, be quick to listen and respond slowly. It's a quick response. It's almost like, dun, 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 dun. Nope, that's not coming in here. Nope, don't let her think about reason. Nope, she doesn't need this. Nope, nope, nope. It's like, and all with this thing that goes off in your brain, trying what? To stop you from hearing truth that will set you free. And how many know you could pick that up as a kid? You could have gone to some painful situations and became defensive. You could decide, you could look at somebody's past and think they're judging you. You could get it from hanging out with everybody who thinks they're paranoid or whatever. Amen? Amen. So my thing to you is quit thinking what you think they're thinking and responding to that. Amen? Now, God has this around me everywhere I'm going right now because he really, really is the time to see it. And so the enemy's going to do his best right now to, he's already popping in your head all the stuff to make you not listen. Well, maybe she'll talk. What if she starts talking about you? Well, what if I do start talking about you? I'm not talking in malice. I'm not talking in slander. Amen? So what if I start talking about you? Amen? If my heart's right, I can talk about anybody I want. I can always talk about anybody he wants. Amen? For anybody who was just afraid I'd start talking about them, you need to look and say, that's that thing. That's that thing. I'm not listening to this. I'm not listening. What if she does this to you? What if this happens to you? What if this goes like this? What if this is like this? What is it? It's this false, false sword and shield going, don't come in here. Don't listen here. Don't receive here. Amen. Only hang out with people who are going to agree with you. Especially when they can agree with you when you're wrong. Hang out with other people who think everybody's judging you and everybody's judging them. Does everybody get you should be able to hang out with anybody? Amen. If you can't have a conversation with anybody, and you can only have a conversation with some people, you've got guards up, and the enemy's in charge of those. And you already have this reasoning thing where you prejudge everything. Reasoning is a prejudgment. Reasoning always comes off as a judging, condemning thing. And many times the person who uses evil reasonings, because this is what they took on to defend themselves, amen? They feel judged. And really what they're doing, they're judging you as saying they're evil. They're judging you as saying, you're saying this about me. They're not communicating. They're not saying, are you saying, I'll just go back to Laurie's example. She could have said if she wanted to say, and it was fine, it was just a 5-second thing. It just came to my mind, something simple to help you see this. She could have said, do you think You think that was God that showed me that, right? First of all, it didn't matter if I do or not. But is the sphere of influence in her life if she sincerely wants to know? Now let me say, you do think God showed me that, right? If she's already thinking, because I know he did, then why ask me? Amen? If you know it's God, who cares what I think? Right? Huh? Yeah, well, if you're delusional, then you need to look at the fruit in your life and decide if maybe you need to rethink on who's talking into your life or what's going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's awesome to get godly counsel. If I got to be so defensive that God told me this, then he probably didn't tell me that. By the fruit, you'll know if God told you something or not. By the fruit, you'll know if a dream came from God or not. Amen? He doesn't. The Bible never says, because you're a believer, then that's all you need to be is a believer, and then you know everything you hear is God. And every other way, he went and wrote all these things to believers about put off, take, get rid of, deal with this and deal with that, if believers don't have to do that. Amen? Okay, so, but if it's a sincere question, okay, then it's called communication, and you could just say, and I'm going to talk about, the thing with Laurie and I was nothing. I said all this to her. I like to use real things, because there's so much real things going on, it's hard for me to make something up. I'm actually thinking about the real stuff. And if I change the names, come on, we all know each other too well, especially in leadership, to be that goofy. Amen? So here's the thing, because here's the cool thing. I said, if you, that's cool what God showed you about the other thing, that's cool. But go after this reasoning thing, because that's your disconnect that I believe physically is causing these MS signs to come up. And how many know, it seems as when God's about to get you free, all hell breaks loose. Amen. When all hell breaks loose, it's the enemy saying, it's like this attack. We've got, it's like the last stand. We have got to win now, or we're out of here. Amen. We got to go at it with everything we got. You think you're nuttier than you ever felt? You feel like everything you've ever dealt with is coming back at you. You think what is happening now, that's not backslidden. That's about to get free. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's when you stand. That's what he says. That's what you say. Ooh, give me wisdom, God. Give me wisdom, God. Show me, teach me, show me, teach me. God wants us to begin to really sincerely communicate. Come on, we've all, probably most of us, maybe somebody hasn't, but most of us have taken on preconceived ideas about what's being said and what they're saying and what they're thinking and how they feel, and we see all everything through that mess. And then we take on guards and walls and everything else. What if God just happens to want you to have a real relationship with that person, and he just happens wants to use that person in your life or use you in that person's life? Amen? Not a single amen. Nobody. I'm not using them in my life. Not that person. And I'm trying to help you see this thing. So I'm just showing normal conversation between two friends, two people who work together in ministry, two people who've known each other for years. I can't even tell you how many years. I've known Laurie before her children were born. I knew her before she was married. How old's her oldest child? 29, 28? She's the age of Mitchell? Probably about 28. So I've known her 29 to 30 years, older than all the people that Gary and Vicky bring. Been to her house. I've went to the hospital when her kids were born. I'm saying good relationship. Amen? So I'm using this as an example to help you see how the enemy uses these weapons he's placed in us to stop us from even hearing good news. See, a response of, oh, do you really think it's reasoning? And we're getting ready to study that. I'm so glad. I am so ready to be healed from this. I am so ready for this to be over. Thank God I'm going to sit on the front row. Do you see how this other thing reacts to total opposite? Like, no, this is what it is. Don't tell me I don't hear God. Who said all these things? Who is giving you this whole conversation that never even happened and certainly didn't happen in even my heart? Amen? And that opens to suspicion, paranoia, all this kind of stuff. Amen? We need to learn in conversations to listen and engage in the conversation. Listen and engage. Now, I'm going to be honest. If you're ministering and God knows that's what you're doing and you've got a spirit of influence and a spirit tries to engage that's not of that person's human spirit and is trying to throw things off track and bring you into that mess, you actually can engage it because you feed it. In other words, if I'm talking to somebody and God has really given me something and I know it, and I know that I know I have no hidden agenda, I just want him free. This isn't even about me at all. Amen? And I go in to share what God showed me, just even like in this, let's just keep using a situation. I go in to share what God shows me. And then the person's like going off in a different direction, then the Lord will not lead me to engage in that, right? Because it's taking the whole conversation away from what God was saying. Okay? So in your groups, for example, life group, the leaders of the groups are the people who are supposed to be helping everybody come into agreement and get to where they need to be and that kind of thing. They need to be able, I've been helping Monica with this. She has a life group she's doing now in Georgia. And certain people come in and they just take them off into new age land and stuff. And she doesn't want to be impolite. I'm like, that would not be a problem. Because I have to stand before God and give account for those souls. So I'm not just letting anything be said. And that's something to keep in account too. If a person has a spirit of influence in your life, if they have to stand before God and give an account, if they don't have to stand before God and give an account, maybe they really don't see you as a person, as an authority. And then you really don't say anything unless they ask. Complicating this now, aren't I? That's okay. Example, if you're a parent and you have children who are small, or if you're a parent or you have children living in your home, whatever age they are, it's your home. Whether they like it or not, you are the sphere of influence in that home. Amen? And they don't get to say, talk to the hand. Amen? You don't put up with that. Why? Because you're not engaging in a conversation when you're telling them to clean their room. You can give them a sincere reason if you want to, but you don't have to. You can just make them clean their room because you can. Oh my gosh, if we could teach kids this again, they wouldn't be having these attitude in school and in classes and with police officers and everywhere else, that they don't understand the difference between the person who has the authority and themselves. And the sad thing is when they then have authority later on, they will not know how to walk in that authority. And if they don't honor authority, they won't be honored as an authority. And that's why the world looks crazy right now. Now, as believers, we have to stand before God as to how we minister to our children and how we share things. So if I'm saying I'm not telling you because I'm just a control freak and I'm operating the wrong spirit, I'm going to stand before God about that, right? But if I get into some wishy-washy kind of, I've got to explain everything to them and they've got to agree with me and la, 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 la. That's baloney. How, has God ever explained anything to everybody in here?
No.
Amen? We respect that he's God, he knows what he's doing and we can't understand and we're supposed to obey. Amen? But there is also, you can communicate. You don't have to lord it over. You can, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, you want to have God's kind of wisdom. We talk about the different kinds of wisdom. I just want you to see this. I want you to see the stuff that people take on to do because they feel judged. Amen? Let me give you a really good example. When Jesus was talking to Herod after he was arrested, and Herod was making fun of him and mocking him, and Herod said, if you're Jesus, if you're the Son of God, do this. Tell me, give me, you better give me some answers. Jesus did not say a single word. Now, I don't know for him, but I know for me, to not say a single word would be harder than letting him have it, especially if I was God. You know what I mean? Like, you know. I mean, come on, there's harmless things he could have done as a sign of wonder, right? You know, he could have done such cool things. He could have a thunderstorm and lightning and a hurricane go by and everything all at one time while he's just standing there smiling. But he didn't, because he wasn't defensive. He had nothing to prove to this person. He had nothing to prove to this person. Pilate asked him questions, same kind of questions. And he answers Pilate. He explains to Pilate, you have no power. You're kind of in the middle of this thing. You're kind of chosen to be sitting here. It's not up to you if I die or live. I mean, the way he handled Pilate and treated Pilate, Pilate was shook to the bone. His wife had already had a dream that this guy really was God. I'm not positive we won't see Pilate in heaven. Pretty sure Herod is going to be there. Although he could repent. Oh, no. No, that was a different Herod. There's another Herod that, was it Old Testament, New Testament, where Herod dies and has worms and all that? Anyway, that might be his great-grandfather or something. Not sure. I'd have to do a search and find out which scripture that's in. Might have been New Testament, though. Anyway, Herod's probably not in heaven, okay? Here's the thing. We need to get rid of this kind of reasoning that makes us assume what somebody else is saying. And without recognizing it, you think you're being judged, but you're actually judging. You're actually judging that person. You're actually assuming that they're saying something negative. You're actually assuming that they're coming from the wrong place. Amen? That's a defense mechanism, something you took on somewhere in life to handle being criticized, to handle being accused, to handle trying to get out of stuff. Amen? You need to recognize these things and repent from them. This is not the way I handle this. It's amazing how much we have to actually stop and learn to respond biblically. Amen? I mean, I'm talking to myself a little bit. We've got to quit. I think about some stuff with John. we had to bring up an issue about the mulch costing some money. You have a yard my size, your mulch bill can look like you bought a car or something. Not quite. Jeez. Well, used car. So, you know, I'm telling John, you know, what the mulch costs. But in the past, and even now still tries to get there, I want to soften the blow. I want to do this. I want to say he won't understand. Can I give you this? So what if they do respond a certain way every time? What does that have to do with how you communicate? Ooh. Now, if they punch you or something, yeah, you know, you need to really pray about getting in a different situation. Amen? I'm just talking about, I don't like it when they look at me like that or roll their eyes like that, or they're going to say that. If you already know what they're going to say, you've already made a defense. You've already prejudged them. You've already said God must not be able to work in their heart here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay? You need to recognize that prejudging what they're going to say, thinking you already know, actually thinking you already know, isn't it kind of zipping into witchcraft? Yeah. Ooh. Right? You're presuming. You're judging. And so you're not trusting to hear God's wisdom of what to do and how to do it. Now, let me say, there's some things that's just considerate. Like, seriously, if I choose not to talk about something with my husband at a certain time because he's got too much he's handling, that's being considerate. Okay, that's being considerate. It's not trying to be sneaky. It's realizing we are not going to have he's making it very clear, and God's wisdom is making clear, this is not a good time to communicate about this. If somebody's in the middle of a big crisis for real, it's really kind of not the time to go up and talk about something that you could put off. Amen? Okay, so in these scriptures, we were talking, there's three kind of wisdoms. Okay, there's three kind of wisdoms. We talked about this last week, so it should be on the first part of the series if anybody's hearing this on the radio. But, all right, there's God's wisdom. Okay, and God's wisdom you can get in your relationship with God. And it's always going to line up with his word. You can also see the wisdom of God reading his word and then having his spirit show you when to apply it. Amen? He talks about his wisdom is peaceable. Amen? His wisdom has the intention of bringing peace into a situation, not enabling peace.